Okay, good morning. It's a privilege to be here, and I'm happy to lead this session off. It looks like there's a lot of very good, interesting papers. Today we're going to be talking about sweet sorghum and photoperiod-sensitive sorghum for ethanol production in West Texas. I wanted to acknowledge my authors. Pari Lama just got her master's degree in soil science from Texas Tech. Robert Schwartz is at Bushland with ARS. I have now moved from Lubbock AgriLife Research to ARS in Maricopa, Arizona. Let me see, I put Texas, that's supposed to be Arizona. And that's it for the authors. Okay, we're going to give you a little bit of an introduction of why we're doing this research, and then the normal format for scientific papers. Ethanol demand is increasing in this country, and a lot of it is, you know, being mandated. You've probably heard that now, I think at the federal level, they are allowing up to 15% ethanol in cars. And so most of this has been coming from corn, but the idea is always to use second-generation fuels like switchgrass. But with sorghums, as I'll explain in a minute, some of it is cellulosic, and some of it is actually from the sugar. Now, sorghum, to back up a second, again, is the alternative crop, sugar cane. I know that in the southern United States, in the Beaumont, Texas area, for instance, they're doing a lot of work on sugar cane and energy cane. Of course, it takes a lot of water for that. West Texas, we're averaging about 18 inches of rainfall a year, so sugar cane doesn't fit, but it is a high water use efficiency crop. And I'll be honest with you, there was a lot of folks that, you know, questioned what we were doing and why we were doing. As a part of the philosophy I was employing was that if it takes 12 inches to grow cotton, the main crop in West Texas, and 20 plus to grow corn, I was thinking, let's try to do this on about half the water we use for cotton, about 6 inches. And the Ogallala Aquifer is declining, and that way it may be a little bit more sustainable, more of a renewable fuel, which people say, how can it be renewable if you're using a lot of water? So the water is very important, and I'll show you the data on how much water we applied. Sweet sorghum is really a triple-use crop. You can get ethanol from the sugar very easily. I'll show you how we fermented that. And but the bagasse, which is the term they use in sugar cane, we use it in sweet sorghum as well, for the stalks after you extract and press the sugar, you can get cellulosic ethanol from that. Photoperiod-sensitive sorghum means that it doesn't flower until after we harvest it in October before it flowers, so we're just trying to get biomass out of the photoperiod-sensitive. Now, nitrogen is very important. I've spent most of my career on nitrogen, but when you're talking about crops for energy, it's one of the highest inputs. I think there's a chapter, a CRC Press book coming out on nitrogen and energy that I was a part of, and as you can imagine, if you want to come out ahead on the energy picture, you've really got to consider the nitrogen. And that's one of the reasons, again, for this work. And also for the area, there's not much sweet sorghum research in the western United States. Most of it tended to be from the southeast. So our objectives were to determine nitrogen fertilizer requirements, looking at ethanol production, sweet sorghum, and photoperiod-sensitive sorghums with this limited irrigation. And we were also going to, just while we had the varieties, compare the two types as well, the sweet and the PPS. This was done in Lubbock, Texas, on an A-cup sandy clay loam in a split plot. We had four reps. Our varieties are here. We had Della and M81E sweet sorghums. These varieties have been around for a while. I think this one is developed from Kentucky. Two photoperiod-sensitive sorghums, which were commercially available. The Della was commercially available, too. The Della, the Maxigain, the Sugar Grade is ultra. Are forage sorghums that are locally available. Nitrogen rates, we had five of them, up to 168 kilos of N. We applied the fertilizer at a side dress at about V7 in the form of urea, ammonium nitrate, 40-inch rows. You can see the setup there. The data we collected was pre-plant soil nitrate, biomass yield, juice, bricks, which is with a refractometer, the total solids, which is about 85% sucrose, dry matter, and uptake. And I'll give you more details on how we get the ethanol. Not sure how I'm doing on time, so I'll just jump through some of these slides. For the biomass sampling, we usually shot for about melting stage of the grain in the sweet start with a little bit of grain form. It seemed to be when the sugar was maximum. And we harvested not very large areas, 1 meter from two middle rows. Now, to get cellulosic ethanol, there's a paper that came out in 2009 from Lorenz et al., and they were able to empirically get a 95% R squared on ethanol production and by using neutral detergent fiber and neutral detergent fiber digestibility and DFD. That's how we calculated ethanol from the cellulose. Here's the rain and the irrigation. And you can see that we had about 40 centimeters of rain and irrigation input both seasons of the crop. This is how we press the sweet sorghum. I think this press is from India. And I don't know how efficient it is, maybe 50% or so, I'm not sure. But we're collecting the juice and we weigh it. Can see there's some flowers, there's very little grain being formed. We kind of ignored the grain, although we did weigh it out, but it is very small. Here's the refractometer. You can do this in the field. We also double-check this in the lab, keeping it on ice. And this is how we made our sweet sorghum wine. It's very simple, really. You take a yeast like Fermax, you hydrate it, add a little bit of water to it. It took about 5 days. And we stoppered it, but it also has to vent because of the gas building up. And we analyzed the fermented beer or wine on a GC, and we generally got about 6 to 8% alcohol. This is the pre-plant soil nitrate. It's very typical, especially in the western United States. We get a fair amount of nitrate in the profile the first year. It's very hard to get a nitrogen response, and you'll see that for the most part we did not get a nitrogen response. But by the end of the spring of the second year, we drew down the nitrogen on the low plots, and these two out here represent the high rates on the sorghum. I hope you can read this. This is final dry matter. To give you the setup of all these slides, we have the four varieties here, the 2 years, and the nitrogen rates. So we averaged about 12 tons of dry matter the first year with no nitrogen effects and no cultivar effects. The second year, we've got, by the way, this SS versus TPS is just a contrast, the sweet sorghums versus the photoperiod sensitive. So in other words, over here we have about 16 tons on our photoperiod sensitive and 12 and 16 here on the sweets. So that was different. We did get a nitrogen rate response the second year. Total N uptake, very high N uptake on the photoperiod sensitive sorghums. You remember there's a lot of nitrate in the profile. I honestly think most of this is actually luxury uptake. We have good evidence that it took up more than it needed. Quite a bit less uptake in the sweet sorghums, and there's a statistical difference between those two, but no N response. The second year, we got a nice nitrogen response. The biomass was slightly higher everywhere in the second year. I forgot to point that out, but you can see our N uptake on photoperiod sensitive is dropped in half, so it's pretty good evidence that there's a lot of luxury uptake going on there. Recovery efficiency, I think I forgot to put that slide in there, but we can calculate nitrogen recovery efficiency, the second year data. And I think on here we were pushing about 60%, and the sweets we were down about 40% recovery efficiency. Okay, here's the juice yields. The juice yields, it seems like it's noisy data. It seems like depending on how fast you press those stalks through the press, we may be getting different amounts. The data is very noisy. Maybe we're not taking a big enough sample Brent, I'm not sure, but you can ask me about that later. But basically, we got higher juice yields the second year, but no, and we did get a cultivar difference here insofar as the M81 gave statistically more juice than Della in year two. Now, the Brix, those of you who have worked with Brix will think that these are pretty low numbers, and they are. And I just and I struggle to explain this why, other than that our environment is just different than where this is usually grown. We do get bricks of about 17 or 18, pushing 20 at the top of the plant. But if you take the whole plant, we're averaging numbers like this. A little bit of a nitrogen effect that usually tends to be negative. Got higher bricks with Della than with Kentucky. The bagasse yields are here. Nitrogen, statistically on the first year, we did get a linear response. This A is referred to an LSD, but there is a linear response to nitrogen there, and the second year is quadratic on the bagasse. This is the NDF. Some differences there. Basically, you know, more NDF with the sweet sorghums. NDFD, a similar trend. Differences between the two types of sorghums. Not in the first year, but in the second year. It's going the other way. With NDFD, the photoperiod-sensitive sorghums are higher. Now let's get to what we're really interested in, is the ethanol. And we can see here that yields are relatively low the first year with no differences. This is from juice, ethanol from juice between the two varieties. And in the second year, we got a nitrogen response in ethanol from juice from the sweet sorghum in the case of M81E only. Cellulosic ethanol, we can throw back in the photoperiod sensitive. No big surprise, in both years you're getting more ethanol from the forage sorghums. A nitrogen response. There was no interaction, so we got a nitrogen response across all these varieties. And now let's look at the total. So for the total, we have the cellulosic on both and from the juice and the sweet sorghums. Again, the grain was very, very small on the sweet sorghums, maybe in the order of 300 to 500 kgs per hectare. So we pretty much ignored ethanol from the grain of the sweet sorghum. But here we can see that total ethanol is highest in the sweet sorghums when you throw in the ethanol from the juice. It's really a big difference there, nitrogen response. So to wrap it up, especially in terms of the nitrogen response, just jump ahead. We were able to calculate optimum nitrogen across all varieties in 09. We couldn't do it in 08 because there was no response. But the optimum nitrogen fertilizer rate was 108 kilos of N. So it was a fairly modest. The biomass yields that we got compared to the literature were a bit less than studies. There's been a lot of studies out in the Agronomy Journal and Nebraska and Kansas and other places, and they tended to get higher biomass yields as well as ethanol. And the reason I could say to interpret this data is that our water input was actually quite a bit less than the other studies, and in many cases about half. So I don't know if I have time for a question or two. Okay. Yes. It was there was no rotation.